Okay. If you'll repeat after me, say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen. The press to come before the Lord last night and this morning, looking for what he wanted for today rather than what I would like. Sometimes I have ideas, but sometimes God uses people to give me an education. Did you ever notice how circumstances can give you an education?
Amen. Oh, amen and amen and amen.
Well, I got a chance to minister to Joe Wilson this week, and we spent some time together on Friday morning. But it was actually the day before that the Lord used his mouth. How many know God can use anybody's mouth and wake you up?
Oh, help me, Lord.
Yes. All right. Well, he was ministering to someone, and he made some comments to me, and one word jumped out at me, and I knew it was the Lord's word. It wasn't my word. It wasn't his word. It was God's word. So I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes and answer this in your own heart. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you given your will to Jesus? Have you given your plan to Jesus? Have you given your spirit to Jesus? Have you given your soul to Jesus? Your soul means your mind, your will, and your emotions. They're tied together. Have you given your body to Jesus? So I said, okay, Lord, you're not done with Hebrews 10, are you? And the Lord said, no. I know you know the answer to some of these. I know you may not ever have been confronted with what you've given and what you've given part-time and what you've given when you felt like it. Anybody know that we give sometimes under an emotional high and then all of a sudden we're off on our own doing what? Whatever feels good, however we survive. Am I on the same page with you guys?
I see the corner coming.
Huh?
I see the corner coming.
Oh, the corner you think is coming?
Yeah, I feel it coming.
You feel it coming. I think, I have knees available. I've been on my knees before.
Oh.
But the one that he was really pushing my heart was the will.
Jesus.
Have I given my will to him? Well, it's survival of the fittest, and God, how am I going to do this? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We were there the other day, but we're going to go a little bit more in that same area. And I don't want to miss this word, because I want you to see verse 7. Verse 7 then. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Well, digesting that truth is something else, isn't it? So I wanted to elaborate a little bit and find out what submission to the divine will can cause. So I'm going to give you some scriptures, so if you've got a paper and pencil, you might be, you know, kind of pressed in to get some of these down. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. That could be prophetic, or it could be actual. Psalm 143, verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And it's confirmed in Matthew 6, verse 10. So prayer is essential to get to the point. Sometimes you're not going to be able to do his will. You're going to be stuck in your own will. Matthew 12, number 50. Matthew 12, verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This particular verse has a very strong meaning for me. Because I was teaching in that particular chapter many, many years ago. And the revelation about this particular piece of information came to my mom instead of to me. How many know we like to be the one that gets the message, especially if we're preaching? Well, I had taught about how the pressure was on against Jesus by his mom. She just had a problem. And I read this particular verse, and I went into details about other scriptures around 42. But when I got to it, my mother said, "Wow, I can be the Lord's mom." I said, "Yes." But after I said yes, the impact hit. Whoa. That means she's going to have to do your will and not her own. It also means I can be a brother if I do his will instead of my own. Now, how many know we like to do our own thing? When we feel like it, how we feel like it, etc., etc. So, my mom said to me, "This is shattering one of my false areas." And I said, "I need a clue, Mom." She said, "Well, I always believed that the Blessed Mother had a higher position that I could never attain." I said, "Mom, she was blessed above all other women, true. But Jesus left the door open so you could be his mother as well." Because he didn't include that verse by accident. So who is his sister? Women, step up to the plate. Amen. Do his will.
Amen.
And if you'll do his will, you'll be his sis. Cool. It requires what? Submission. Next verse. John 7:17. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. I love that one. Knowledge will come to you when submission happens. Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6. Obey then, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. If "from your heart" wasn't in there, it would be easier to swallow. But "from your heart" means that you decide according to what his dictates are downloaded to you, and you're going to be trusting in his grace and in his favor to carry you. It's confirmed in Hebrews 13:21. James chapter 4, verse 15. This one is giving you a choice. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we would live and do this or that. If it is the Lord's will. You see, there are many times that it's going to look like God, smell like God. Even if you take a little bite, it's going to taste like God. But when I had to learn, when it was life-changing decisions, it had to be God all the way. And I had to trust that He would make it clear and make it so that I would not miss the mark. Because I had seen many people do all kinds of choices. And some of them were God, but some of them weren't.
Thank you.
The last verse I want to give you is Matthew 26:42. Matthew 26:42. It's confirmed in John 5:30. He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." That included what was going to happen in his body. That included, I believe, visions of the cross. I think he had visions in order to trust that there was an end result. And he also saw, I believe, visions or snap visions of the resurrection in order for him to stay focused. All I can tell you is doing his will is not always comfortable, but it is the best for all of us. Doing his plan for me was difficult because it cost division. It brought division. It brought persecution. It brought resurrection in some areas, but in others, it was utter devastation. I felt like I was surrounded by hurricanes and tornadoes because of wherever I went, it was constant rejection. And I believe now that it was caused by God so that I could overcome rejection. But at the time that I was walking in, I hated every minute of it. I really did. I hated what I felt when I saw people that I've known for years and they would look at me and I could feel the darts going in my back. Mm-hmm. I could feel it whenever I was in a public place and I met them by accident and they would turn the other way or face the wall just not to look at me. So doing his will cost you. Doing his plan will cost you. Letting your spirit rule you because you've submitted your spirit to him, it's going to be a joy and it's going to be giving you strength. So that's the opposite. It is by living in the spirit and by remaining focused in your spirit that you'll be able to survive every test. So you'll come out of the corner when you reference your spirit's abilities. Because you see, your spirit's not tied to your flesh. Your spirit is tied to the heavenly one. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, etc. I found that I couldn't give up all three together because it was too heavy. I had to take it piece by piece. So I gave him my will first. I gave him my mind second. And I began to confess that I have the mind of Christ. Did I succeed? I would say to you, part-time. It wasn't an overall sensational victory and saying, oh, my problems are over. That's a lie. It wasn't. My emotions, that was probably the most difficult. Because my emotions had an ability to rule me. Because I would follow them to get comfortable in my body, which is the last part. You see, there are seasons in life that we do not understand, but they have an eternal consequence. They really have an eternal situation that happens to you as you grow and mature in the knowledge of the Lord. And a lot of people don't want to grow up. They just don't want to. They would rather stay in the comfort level of their emotions and do what feels good. But now, I sense beyond a shadow of a doubt that the last example is the body. And for me, it was part-time as well. So I want to take you to Hebrews 10, but verse 5 this time. Verse 5 says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Now, I believe this body is not just his own natural flesh and blood. I believe it's the entire body of Christ. So it's prophetic for the future in that word. And I believe St. Paul was very able to carry that message across. But you and I, when we give up our body to him and we say, let your plan unfold and let your will be done in me as it is in heaven, you're in for a real journey. Will you understand it all? I would truly say part-time. It's going to be a part-time deal for our season. It will get cemented in when you find that the rejection had a purpose. When you find that the persecution was a reality that Jesus tasted and you need to taste it as well. When I tasted a little bit of the crucifixion, I would cry out, and I swear to God, sometimes I felt those nails hitting my arms, sometimes I felt them hitting my feet, and sometimes I felt the dagger in my side. How many relate to what I'm telling you today? If you relate to it, put your hand up. Thank you. That's why the corporate body is so important. If the corporate body can stick together and hold on to each other, you're going to be able to intercede for one another and you will get the victory. It will not be lost or drained down the road. You will get the victory. Which part of you needs to be released to him? That's between you and him. There are corners you may not be able to give up right away. Ask him for grace. If you can't give up the whole thing, give up part of it. A little bit at a time is what I had to do. A little piece at a time was all I could do. And you know what? He knows our hearts. So again, you can blame Joel Wilson because his comment to me was what brought this message back to life. Because it kept coming back to me 2-3 times. Have you given your will? So if you'll just close your Bible right now, because I don't want to give you any more. You've got enough right now. But what I'd like you to do is to just lift your hands to him and say, Lord Jesus, reveal to me what's next in my walk with you, so that I will be obedient. When you cry out to me, to give up some area that I hold dear. I give you praise.
I give you praise.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
That you gave me an example.
You chose to do God's will.
When you did, it cost you your body.
But you didn't stay in the grave.
Neither will I.
Every part of me.
I've given to the best of my ability.
But when you fine-tune me,
at the next level,
the grace will be there
to carry me
and to give me the favor
that I need
to get the job done
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.